Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Rugby League Review. This is our third recording this week, and there isn't many bigger players than our guest today. He's been highly requested in our messages, and we're glad to have him join us. It's the Big Bopper, it's Wakefield Trinity's David Fifita joining us. David, how are you?
Yeah, good. Really good, actually. Just enjoying the off-season to its fullest, pretty much.
Yeah, David just mentioned to us that he's in Mykonos at the moment, so he's been showing off the weather while we're freezing cold here in England. But what, first and foremost, the Big Bopper, where did that nickname come from?
Yeah, the boys back home. I've always been, it's come from when we were in 20s, actually. We started getting bigger, and I made 20s as a centre, and my brother was already a Big Bopper. We just pretty much, all the boys back home just name called each other the Big Boppers. There wasn't really any small blokes of us, so we all just called each other Bopper, and yeah, I just brought it over here as well. So I'm the Big Bopper. My brother's just done Bopper Gaming now. So yeah, shout out to him. Him and his gaming crew with Bopper Gaming. But yeah.
Well, what we like to do in the podcast is find out our guest and their route into rugby league. Obviously, you've got yourself and your brothers, and obviously it runs through the family. How was your route into the game as a young boy?
How I got into it?
Yeah.
We played soccer at the age of 4 and 5, I think it was, or football. I like to call rugby league footy, so. But yeah, and then the coach ended up telling us to pretty much piss off. And put him in rugby league, they're too wild. So me and my brother, my older brother, went to rugby league and haven't looked back since under sixes. So yeah, bit of fun.
And am I right in saying your junior rugby started at St. Patrick's Blacktown, is that right?
Yeah, I started at Doonside.
Doonside,
And then we went to St. Patrick's towards my, under 16s and then 17s and stuff like that, the older years, and then you're going to more the professional side of it after that.
And obviously, yourself, Andrew, and he also playing as well, so kind of running the family at the rugby league.
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually. Started in the backyard, just wrestling each other and stuff like that. And yeah, just took it onto the main field. And I think it was a good, when I got to debut with my brother, it was awesome. So that's pretty, that's feeling.
Yeah, you mentioned that obviously you signed for Cronulla in 2013. What was the step you made to being signed by Cronulla?
Well, yeah, after 20s, I think my brother just got signed because, like I said, I made 20s of centre. I used to play centre my whole childhood growing up playing centre. And then I moved to the front row and it just wasn't going well for me. Yeah, after 20s and Premier League, New South Wales Cup and stuff like that. And then I ended up just throwing it away, having a young family. And I moved over to France, played for Lezignan. And I just loved the game again. And then as soon as I got off the plane, I had Melbourne Storm waiting for a meeting with me. And I was like, oh, well, didn't even know. Just one of the mates rang me as soon as I landed off the plane. Said, someone's picking you up from the airport. You got to go with him straight away. And went with him and met with all Melbourne Storm. And it was awesome. And my brother pulled me aside and he wrote a carnival in our local area back home. And he just said, the coach wants to talk to you. And I said, oh, yeah, sweet. And that's Shane Flanagan. He goes, if you want a job on Monday, come down training. We'll get you, like, we'll do all your medicals and testing and that. And there's a job there waiting for you. So I pretty much went there and proved to the end of the season. I think we won the New South Wales Cup that year. So, and then they ended up giving me a 2-year deal. So it was good.
And obviously you made your NRL debut in 2014. Can you just describe that feeling when you stepped out to the pitch the first time?
Yeah, it was good. Because my brother got suspended round one. So round two, I got to make my debut. And yeah, it was exciting times, and I had the whole family there and friends, and you can hear, I start off the bench, and as soon as he called me name to get on there, that's when it hits you the most, I reckon. And then I just ran on, just do what I do, pretty much. That's it, fun.
And obviously, Wakefield 2016, how did that move come about?
I don't know, it was just a bit, in a system at the Sharks where, like, I felt like I was more in the 18th man role rather than playing, and I knew I had a lot more to offer. So my older brother was over here, and he was struggling at the time with injuries and stuff like that, and I just said, I'll if I can get a job over there or get a team over there, I'll come over and have some fun. And then I spoke to Chris Chester. He sold me on the place and done the right way to get me over and talk to me and stuff. And yeah, next thing, I had my brother was at Workington and I was at Wakefield, signed for Wakefield. So I haven't looked back since.
I know Colin wants to speak more about Wakefield, so I'll pass over to you. I know he's got a couple of questions for you.
Yeah, so what's it been like, obviously, since moving to Wakefield, and how were the team, and how has your game developed under Chris Chester when he was there?
Yeah, it was great. I can't bad about Chris Chester. He made me the player who I am today. He let me be who I want to be and play the way I want to play. And I think after the first year, half year here, I think it was 17, 18, where I started to understand this game of Super League. And it's a bit hard. Like, you've got to get used to it. It's like you can bring all these superstar players and stuff, all these type of players over, and they don't know how it works. And it's, you've got to adjust to the game. It's a lot different to the NRL, where it's all really wrestle, play off your head kind of things. But yeah, it's just, once I knew it, it's my style of footy over here. I just dream of love playing Super League. And yeah, it's been great ever since.
And obviously, you talk about adjusting. Obviously, Chris Chester got let go. How, obviously, we saw the upturn in form Wakefield had when he did leave under Willie Poaching. And what was that adjustment like, seeing him leave the building?
Oh, personally, it hurt me a lot, because I come in because of him, and he's let me do what I like, let my game go to another level because of that person there. Yeah, it really hurt me then, that we let him go, and it felt crap because I think he did sign, or he did have an extra year, or I don't know the story, but when you've, we played in that game, it wasn't him playing in that game, and we lost to Huddersfield, and we shouldn't have when we had that much of a lead and stuff like that. It just hurt more after just the process of it, really. Like, if it was just said, mate, we're going to use to the end of the year, we're going to part ways, then yeah, fair enough. You feel a little better. But after that game, where you know it was on your head, and being a senior player, yeah, it did hurt me a lot for the following weeks and that. And yeah, can't, with Will, yeah, Will's Will. He's an Islander. He just, I don't know, like, he's just proud, yeah, proud for a, I think it's like the first Samoan coach. Coming from a Tongan background, I know how hard and the struggles you get. He probably went through to get to where he is now. And it's good to see him now stepping up, and they've given him the full-time role. And I think he's just, like, led the boys. They're trying to get the better out of all the boys. Yeah, so it's good, and it's interesting to see what he brings next season.
You say it's interesting, you know, to see what he brings next season. What are the plans personally and as a group for next season?
I don't know anything. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm kind of stressing a bit, not stressing so much, but with signings, it hit. We had a In Your Players WhatsApp. Every team's got a players WhatsApp group, and I think it was a couple of days ago. Boys are saying their goodbyes. This is me, boys, going to another team. Blah blah blah. Like ever, and it started with one, and then it started going bang bang bang. And I was like, what's going on? All these players are going, and just started, the list started just going down lower. I'm like, we better get some players sooner, because I mean, I don't know if we signed anyone yet, and we're stressing a little bit. I'm stressing from a player's point of view, because we do need some middles, and if we're letting a couple of middle go, yeah. So it's just more work on my shoulders next year. Need to share that workload if you know what I mean. But yeah, stressful times, but it's not for me to worry about. It's a new coaching staff, let them deal with it. Just went for a new S&C. So see what's his new coaching staff like, pretty much.
Hi, David. You had a few injuries last season in the squad. Do you feel like that was probably the major role in, obviously, the factor in finishing lower down the table, do you reckon? Or do you think it's just kind of, obviously, Chris Chester's departure, you know, kind of, I'm trying to think, had an effect on that? As a team, yeah.
Yeah, as a team, for the injuries, Yeah, I reckon we've had a few injuries over the past few seasons, actually. It wasn't one of the best. Oh, going from, when was it, 2018, was it? Top five. Going from top five where, you know, we had a decent team, and when we were full team on the park, it's great. Like, we believe in each other. We've had the same team, so there's that bond we've got there. And then when injuries hit in the wrong spots, it's just, yeah, it hurts. And that's another reason why you feel for Chris Chester, because when you've got these, like, full team out there doing his job, what he wants to do, then it's hard for a coach, because injuries do take its toll. And on myself, yeah, I'm starting to find my groove now after my foot surgeries and stuff like that. It wasn't a good time in 2019, that back end of the season, fighting through the pains and stuff. But so far, so good. And had a year to be injury-free. It was great. And I don't know how I got through it, but I did, except for that broken rib that hurt a couple of times, a few games after. But one of my goals at the start of the year was to try and get through consistently. Not wasn't so much every game, but it ended up being every game, so it was good. And I was happy to do that, and if I can build on it next year.
You mentioned there that you've had surgeries on injuries and stuff. Do you feel like you're a better player and you feel physically better post-surgery than you did before? Or?
Yeah, it's still... It's just this game. It's hard to, like, say this new game, but where everyone looks in from, supporters and everyone, like, fans, it's hard to get used to. That's why some players who used to be, it's hard, like, learning this new game, how quick it is. It's like you've gone from stopping to having a rest kind of for, like, 15 seconds, getting your breath back, to, like, always constantly rolling the ball out, jogging back to the middle, jogging here, jogging there. You're constantly in a jog. So it is hard to get used to it, but I think I've finally found some ways around it, and I'm hoping for scrums are back next year, and I can't wait, because you've probably seen me celebrating, me fist pumping in that, because I love a scrum. That's where you get your breath back, but see how it goes.
I just want to take you back to the time on the Sky cameras. You might remember it when you played Warrington at home, and the Wolves mascot, Wolfie, was sort of mimicking you on the sideline, warming up next to you. Yeah. Is that something you like, obviously, coming over to Super League, the banter between the fans and the different clubs? Is that something you enjoy? I'd imagine it is.
Yeah, you thrive on that. Like, oh, not just Wolfie, but all the fans. I love you. It's like one of my favourites. So, oh, yeah, I love it. Yeah. When I remember that morning, I get a phone call, because usually I don't like take phone calls or stuff like that. I just relax, watch movies all day. I literally don't get on my feet. I get out for breakfast and get up and go back and lay in bed. But I got a phone call, and it was from a weird number. And I answered it. And it was the CEO. I forgot his name. And I go, "How'd you get my number?" And I was off contract at the time as well, too, in 2019. And I'm like, he's not going to talk to me about this before the game and stuff like that. And he goes, "Oh, no, we just want to know if, is it all right if we dress our mascot up like you tonight?" And I'm thinking, I'm like me? And I'm like, what's going on? What do you mean? And then it was good. And I just said, "Oh, I don't have a problem, mate. You can dress him up however you want." And it just, I don't know, for myself, it just makes you feel like you're doing something good on the field for the opposite team who want to dress up as me. Really pretty. So that's why I got him at the end of the game and ran him up. I'm hoping there wasn't a girl in that outfit, but because I was like wrestling down. It was good. It was good banter, and I do enjoy it. Every time I was warming up down the sideline, he'd start jogging down there with me, and yeah, it was good. I enjoyed that.
And you mentioned the Trinity fans. How welcome have they been since, obviously, you joined the club 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah, they've been good. Part of the reason why I don't want to leave, and I'm getting older now, and I'm trying to give back something to the club, if it's a Challenge Cup trophy, if it's a winging our way through to the... Because I know what kind of team we have, and if there's, like... We've been in the top five twice, and we've just missed out a few times, even on the Challenge Cup. I've been in them top four moments where we've... I think we versus Warrington the first year I got over here, and we scored the first try. We thought we were gone, and we ended up getting flogged. But yeah, I just want to play in the big games for them, and just want to try and really make a name at this club and become always be remembered pretty much at this club.
And obviously, the stadium, it's an old-fashioned stadium. Obviously, fans tight close to the pitch. Is that one of the stadium? It gets criticised like stupidly because it's an old-fashioned stadium. But for me, it's a great stadium. Fans so tight to touch the pitch. Great atmosphere when you go there.
Oh, yeah. I love it during the season. I don't love it in pre-season when we're sitting outside in the cold. In the offset, during the season, I love, like, crowds right in your face. I enjoy that. Like, my favourite away is Cass. I love Cass being so close and their MTR. And especially running back for after you score a try and you go back to the De Boer line and they're all right there and you enjoy it. So, like, that's why I do, like, little dances and I do hype them up because it's something you thrive on. You'll never get these days back in your life and I can't wait to get back rolling next year for it.
You mentioned Cass there. You made your 100th appearance for Wakefield against Cass back in June, I think it was. Is that kind of a good milestone for you?
It wasn't the appearance. If it was me, Super League, because I don't know. Was it Super League? Then yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a proud 100% proud moment. Like, my appearance, I'm not so fussed about because there's a few different teams and stuff like that, but I'm a former Wakefield Super League. Yeah, I'm stoked to make 100, actually. Like, it's just, I've been watching my brother make his, like, all his milestones over home, and to do 100 overseas and at the top level, it's, yeah, great. And something my children can look forward to coming back to Wakefield and having a look where I've put all these milestones over at this club and why I loved it, and I can tell them when they get older, pretty much. So, yeah.
I just want to touch on a game last season, obviously, Warrington at home. Obviously, you won the game, but prior to the game, obviously, you had the news about your brother over in Australia. How tough was that for you to carry on playing that game, actually win and score yourself whilst knowing that was back over in Australia at home?
Who was it? Warrington. I think it was Warrington.
Yeah.
It was real tough. I didn't know what was going on until, I think it might have been about 2 hours before the game, before I had to leave to the game. I got a phone call. One of my little cousins over home said, "Have you heard the news about Andrew?" And I said, "Nah, what's up?" And he said, "No, you need to ring Mickey, his partner." So I said, "Yeah, sweet, I'll ring her now." And she called me, and I seen a video, and I was on FaceTime. And he said, "Do you want to see him?" I said, "Yeah, yeah." And she's got tears in her eyes and stuff like that, and it's hard because I knew something was up. And he goes, "You want to see him?" And I said, "Yeah, sweet, put him on. What's the idiot doing?" Because it's, I think they just played a game. And then I seen all the tubes and stuff like that down his throat. And, oh, mate, I wasn't, it just went straight to tears and it hurt me so much. And then I've just called my missus and I said, what do we do? What do we do? And I think was it a week after Chris Chester got them? Was it a week after then as well? But, like, it all hit me. I didn't want to play that week because of Chessie and stuff like that. And I wanted it because it was just mixed emotions that week and we're going into Warrington. And then I said to my partner, I said, "Oh, what do I do? Do I book a flight to go home or what?" Like, and I said, "I'll do this today. I'll go through. I'll just get on with it." And I'll end up pulling Andy last aside in the sheds. And I said, "Listen, I don't want to. I don't think I can play." And he's like, "Oh, what's up?" And then, because no one knew the news, what happened. I said, "My brother's in coma." And he goes, what do you want to do, Dave? Do you want to go?" And then he was with me all the way. And I said, "Nah, I'll get through this." Because at the game, we lost Chris Green, I think it was. I think he went down with the flu or something. Mm-hmm. So he pulled out. If he didn't pull out, I would have pulled out and said, "Nah, I can't do it." But then I ended up playing. It was pretty good, like, outcome. We ended up winning and I did end up scoring. And then straight after the game, I was back on the phone all night waiting. And then, yeah, it was a tough day that day, one of the toughest days I had to play. And I did give him the next week. His partner was real helpful and she just got me through it as well. She just said, "Stay. I'll let you know when times are, if it gets worse and worse and worse, then you have to be on the next flight." So it's good.
And now we've seen, obviously, he's back, working his way back. I think I've seen his Instagram. 2K22 he's got on his Instagram. He started jogging again, so he's in the right direction. He's getting better.
Yeah, he's. I've asked him, he's still having talks about it and stuff like that, and where you at? he won't tell me. He's like, he's pretty much, he's like myself. I don't like to talk about what we're doing and where we're going with it and stuff. But he wants to take it. I'm pretty sure he's had some meetings with others and where we're going forward and what we're doing. And he just wants to know where I'm living when we go back home. That's all he wants to do, so he can start looking for a house near us. But yeah, it's good to see him on his feet running. I'm still hopeful that we can get a game together. If it's not here, if it's like back home playing park footy somewhere or anything like that. Just, yeah, he's starting to make it. He's back to normal, really. He's just running amok, but I'm sure he's looking forward to getting this year out of the way and start fresh next year and with a new coach and see how it goes.
And there was another moment last season, Hull FC at home, kicking tee comes out and you're not going over through the posts. Where did that come from?
Nah, because every captain's run, we're always there kicking after we finish captain's run. And I said to her, we just play for coffees. We have a kick for coffees. And there's a few of us who do it. And then I think Mace got sent off in the last game and he was off on the bench and I was on the bench at the time. And I just said to him, I said, if I go back out there and you're here and we score a try, I'm kicking the goal. And he started laughing. So he goes, yeah, all good. I started laughing. And anyways, I ended up running on and then end up scoring with 12 men. And I looked at Salt, he's still on the side, said, give me that ball. And I put it down. It was not to take a piss out of Hull FC or anything. It was just like, because it was always from that side too. We always kicked the goals from that side. So it was my bread and butter. I wasn't missing that.
And if he's on the sideline again, you're grabbing it again.
Pardon?
If he's on the sideline again, are you taking it again? Not to over me, is it like?
100%. There's a few of them. The kick? Yeah, no, I will take it again, yeah, 100%. But there's a few players who are ahead of me. Max Jowett, there's them type players who kick goals like crazy. Batch doesn't miss either. So, yeah, if all them three players are off the field, then yeah, I'll be next to take it up.
And with new and you came on the pod, we're coming on the podcast, we put a tweet out on our page asking for questions to put to you, David. So we've got a couple, so I'm going to fire some at you if that's okay.
Yes, right.
Kirsty asked, how did you become interested in rugby league?
I don't know. Like I said before earlier, our soccer coach just said, mate, they're too feral for soccer. Go put them in rugby league. They just want to tackle and bash each other. So, yeah, under sixes mum put us in and it's worked well for us so far. And we just can do what we want, pretty much be a clown on the field. And that's all we've done their whole childhood. And I think it comes out now. That's why I'm always laughing and smiling on the field and stuff like that. So, yeah.
We can tell on here and on the field that you're a bit of a joker. Who else in the change room is a joker? And if you've got any stories, you can tell us.
Enjoys the joke. I don't know. It was probably Kyle Wood. He would have a laugh. And I know Milky, he makes me laugh. He starts calling every name under the sun and I just laugh at him and he's like, get serious. And I'm just, it's just like one of them ones. I don't know. Maybe Tash, Matty Ashurst, maybe. Yeah. He's like a silent assassin. Like he like Mr. Serious and that. But it's just like little things in the scrums. He just goes in and goes, are you serious? We're still doing this or what? And it's like, it's just things he says. He's just, yeah, silent, but yeah, he's just, mate, he takes it, like, he'd make 50 tackles a game, and then he'll come in just saying, Dave, you got to make that tackle. I've made 50 for you already. Just hurry up and make that one tackle. I'm only asking for one tackle. Just stuff like that. It just makes you laugh. And yeah, it's good. Like, I have the banner with the boys.
And Andrew's asked, is there any difference between Super League and the NRL? What are the main differences between the two?
There is a difference. There is 100%. There's a difference. They've got scrums. We don't. That's the big difference. Just physical wise, it's the same. Like you still got whatever rugby league game. You can go to your play local A grade. Someone's going to be freaking hard and hit you as hard and stuff like that, I reckon. But it's just the speed, I reckon. But in saying that, I reckon Super League's got them because with this new, like with no scrums and stuff like that, and how quick refs are making you get to the spots and stuff. It's just, yeah, I've been out of the game. I didn't play enough NRL to comment on that, so I'll just rush that and just Super League's just getting too quick for the big bopper, I reckon. Or it's just old age catching up.
Well, you'll be pleased to know, don't know if you've seen it, but Scrums are back next season, so there's your 30-second break. You'll get back in the games.
Oh, I can't wait. You've probably seen my hands go up every single time. It's like when the fans come back. It's probably as great a moment as that. So I'll just put my hands up because I'll be in the hooker. I was saying, get in here, boys. I love this. Let's go. Wherever we go.
And for next season, obviously, you know, some players have come in. When are you back in pre-season? Obviously, I know at the moment you're loving the sun out there in Greece.
I need to stay as long as a kid. So then when I come back, I can quarantine and still miss half the pre-season. It'll be great. I think he wanted to start on the 9th of November. It'd be good to get to see the new lads. I don't really know them personally, and I think I've versed one of them down against Lee. I don't know much, so much about. Is it Gaskell? Yeah, I don't know so much about him.
Yeah.
Who else is it? I don't know.
Liam's coming from Lee.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm looking forward to working with him because I've had a great bond with Kyle Wood. I still can't believe we've let him go. It's just I can't praise how much Wood he's brought. He's made me shine a lot more than what if he wasn't there, like for myself. Makes me look good if like just taking off. And I'm hoping Liam Hood brings the same energy and stuff like that. So I'm hoping to create the same bond I had with Kyle Wood with him next season. As for the rest of them, I don't know, we're in the dark.
Mm-hmm. When people find it on Twitter, it's really soon. I just want to touch on Mason Lightner, who came in last season. How good was he, and what partnership he had with Miller so far last season?
Yeah, it was good. Chezzy said we might have a link up with Lino and Mason. And I started laughing. I said, bullshit. And he said, yeah. And I said, yeah, get him at all costs. Like, we're missing a good half. But that, the playmaking half, and then there's a one who plays off the cuff like a proper 5'8", you know what I mean? Where we've had two running 5'8", where in Rocky and Milky, I think we just missed that halfback who's just put us down, put us direct, kick to a corner, that kind of stuff. So when we got him, it was really good. His kick games, he broke the record this year, was great. What he's done so far, and I think he's getting used to the game. I think it took him a little bit at the start of the season to get used to it, and everyone's going to be agitated. But it was once he gets used to the game and knows how it works, then he'll be a lot better. I think next year he'll be a lot. Yeah, hopefully he's here to stay for a long time.
And I was looking on Twitter earlier today, and I saw that the new jerseys are out today for Wakefield.
What time is it out yet, or what?
It's 5 p.m. But Tom Lineham and Liam Hood are in the club store doing the launch. And what do you think those two, you know, obviously Lineham from Warrington and Hood from Lee, what do you think those two are going to bring to the side when they start playing in 2022?
I hope Lineham brings some tough carries. I'm sick of getting bashed out there. No, I'm joking. Looking forward to them. I think with Tom Johnston, and I think Inner Senior done a good job too on the wing for us this year. I'm just excited. I've seen what he's done at Warrington and how good of an enforcer he is pretty much to bring out of yardage, and he can finish a try. So we've had a big hole there on the wing from when Bish left. I'm sure he'll take it with both hands. And unfortunately, Liam Kay's no longer a winger, so he's a hooker now. So he'll battle Wood for the 9 jersey.
And have you seen the new jerseys, or are you in? Or are you in?
Yeah,
the with us?
I have seen them. All I'll tell you is that I am not happy for one reason, and that's it. I'll just leave it at that. Because they are nice jerseys, but big bobbers don't look good in them. That's all I can say.
So, you can guess the color. I don't know if you've seen it this morning, David, but Wakefield actually got a new badge this season. Have you seen that yet?
Yeah, I think one of the boys put it up. Are we downgraded? No. I don't. I, I'm not really fussed over the badges and stuff like that. It's what the club, it's their heritage, and I'll play for Wea whatever they badge they decide to put on our jerseys. So yeah, do you like it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
So I want to
know when, obviously now you, I know you're on holiday, but when, say during the week you haven't got training, you've got a week off, what does Stephen Fafita do for fun in his spare time? What do you do for fun?
Eat. I don't know. What, during season or like on the off season?
If you've got a week off during the season, what will you do?
Oh, 100% try and travel. Oh, but we never get a week off. I'm praying that we get a week off. And saying that, yeah, I do like to eat. I do like to, like, especially coming like to these places. Off season. I'll eat and get back big and then work hard again pre-season and get it all down. And it's not a good time during pre-season, so I'm not looking forward to it. But I normally like to game, get on the PC or PS4 or 5, play with the boys. We've got a big crew over there, pretty much. Every Islander and every team, we all play. We just give it to each other on Colin, stuff like that. Other than that, I do enjoy taking the family out. I think we've been here a while now to see everything around Wakefield, Leeds, pretty much in England. I think we've been nearly everywhere except Cornwall. Looking forward to if we get off this year. If not, if I can't get a cheap holiday somewhere, then... Yeah, I'm stuck in Shaky Wakey.
And obviously, you rugby league play, obviously. Are you into any other sports?
Nah. I don't even like watching rugby league, to be honest. I prefer to sit there and play the game with the boys. Other sports, I don't know, nah. Probably either when the Olympics are on or watch the Olympics on like races.
Mm-hmm.
Is greyhound racing a sport?
We can.
Yeah. Depends if we're having a beer with the boys and stuff like that down at your local. I don't know. I've got favorite teams in other sports and stuff like that, but I'm not like, don't guess out of my way to watch it. And all the boys, if we're down the pub watching a game, I'll watch it, the soccer and stuff like that. But yeah,
you mentioned obviously the Winter Olympics there. I found a question recently that I'm gonna throw at you now. If you had 4 years to train for any event in the Olympics or the Winter Olympics, what event would you do? what are you choosing?
Winter Olympics, 100%. You're doing bobsleigh, and I love the trail rides and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but Jesus, if I'm going to train for Olympics in the sport, it'd probably be like, I don't know, or something you don't move in. You know, you probably figure like you do rugby sevens or something like that, but there's no way you're doing that. You look at it like probably shooting or like archery or something like that. Somewhere you just don't move and just chill, really. Just go there where you're just a natural talent. They're the best ones, the best athletes you see. Golf? I'd love to play golf. Can't play for crap, but you'd love to play golf. Fire out. Skateboarding. I'll do skateboarding. Is that Olympic? That's Olympic sport.
Yeah, and BMX in now.
I can't skate, but you do one of them, just some fact while going down, having a laugh and stuff like that. Probably for Tonga. They wouldn't have an athlete in skateboard for Tonga.
It's funny you mentioned the rugby sevens there, because I like to introduce a segment into the podcast I call Rugby League Sevens. So where it's a seven side that you build from players you've played with throughout your career. You can either play in the team or you can be coach. And I'm guessing from your last response, you'll probably be coach rather than play.
Yeah, 100%.
So which seven players you've played with through your career are you putting in your team?
Oh, fuck.
Is your brother getting in there? That's the question.
I'll play. Yeah, I'll play. I'll put my brother in.
Yeah.
I'll put us both up in the middle. What's this there? Jesus. I put Milky in, 100%.
Yeah.
And then you got players like... Yeah, played with, like, I don't want to be biased, and I've played like the All Stars game with like your GI.
Anyone can go in. If you played with him, you can put
him. He's definitely in. GI's definitely in.
Who's your wingers?
They have to be in their prime, though, not now. You have to be in your prime.
Yeah, in the prime, of course.
Jeez. I don't know, wingers.
Is Tom Johnson getting in there? He is rapid.
Oh, yeah. Or, what's it? No, there's a couple back home. Yeah, I'll put Tommy in, 100%. Tom Johnson's going to get a spot. He'll be on one side, outside GI, because GI is big, just throws him and just throw him the ball.
So who's your fullback?
Probably Latrell Mitchell.
Yeah, and then you need one more winger.
Another winger.
Another one. Played with a few.
See, I'd only put Andrew in if it was nines. someone fast. I don't know. Who's fast?
We had a fellow teammate of yours, Ben Jones Bishop, on the podcast a few months ago. He's very quick.
Nah. I would never. Nah, not Bish. He just. Did he just make his sevens debut? For Jamaica. I think he just made his sevens debut.
I think he's playing, tonight against the Knights.
Oh, you could say Mason as well, but he's rapid, he's quick as well.
Yeah.
But I'll probably put Blake Ferguson.
Yeah.
He's like a powerhouse as well, and you just want to see him do some flips, really.
he's finishing in the corner. Him on one side and Tom on the other side.
You got big GI, but then you're like, your halves will probably be like Thurston. You probably have Thurston Milky.
Yeah.
You need two halves. Is that it?
Like, it's your team. You can decide who's in there.
Is that what we're up to? Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I'd have him instead of Milky playoff cuff.
And I want a question we ask most players is, what's one ground you look forward to going to, but you know you're going to get abuse from the fans or some stick from the fans?
Yeah. Well, Cass is the main one. I love that.
Is that your favourite away stadium?
Yeah, it's one of my favourite. Yeah, not for the ground itself, but like for the fans, away fans and stuff like that. Yeah, it's great how it's so close and it just echoes right around where you're playing. And also, I'm going to put Wigan. I love playing. Oh, this year wasn't as much. I don't know. I think they've lost a few fans, but the previous years, used to just feed them, really. It's one ground year where I used to love going, and if we won, it was great. So just give them some stick for the Wigan,
A popular one we found from asking our guests that is Headingley. Are you a fan of Headingley? Obviously, there's a big crowd there most weeks.
Yeah, you get a massive crowd there, but you don't get not really any sticks. So, like, they're just, it's just like playing at a loud stadium, but there's no one, like, on your side except for, like, your corner. And then there's no one who's, like, trash talking you, really. Mm-hmm. They're pretty good there.
I'm getting the vibe you love getting stick from fans and it makes you play better.
It doesn't make me play better, but I enjoy it. You're doing something right then. They're going to give you some stick. So, I must be against Leeds. I'm not doing something right to not get any stick off them.
A message we got in, which is quite a good surprise to me, but a good question is there one insult you've received from a fan that has impressed you? You thought that's a good insult, that?
Well, yeah, you always get the same, like, one of his last games was saying you're the worst for feeder or something in rugby league or some shit. Like, I don't know. And I was, mate, both of them, the other two are on like $1 million contracts and I'm sitting at Wakefield. So you got that right. Don't worry about that. there's not where any insults where, I mean, like what's made me turn and go, they've said stuff about your hair, who's your hairdresser, stuff like that. But like, I enjoy every insult pretty much. Well, so far, there hasn't been any like ones that stepped over the line or anything like that. But all of them, like you give them a clap, they enjoy it, they start celebrating with you. Start calling you fat, you're belly, they love it. Maybe after preseason, I'm gonna get some abs. Who am I kidding, by the way?
And just to finish off, who is one player in Super League who you don't like coming up against? Do you think you're going to be in for a tough battle? Does the one player come to mind?
Forwards not so much worry me. forwards, because I know it's every forwards out there is going to be tough. Like, you know, he's going to run hard and straight, blah, blah, blah. It's more the backs. Like, it's like, probably I'll put out there like Regan Grace. Yeah. If he gets me, like, it's like them type of players. Like, they're not going to run over you or anything like that, but they're going to make you look stupid if, like, you try to go one out. And you just stand there and it just goes bang, 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 and you're like, where is it from? It's like them ones I do get worried, because you know they're going to be on the highlights reel for like the following season and stuff like that, and it's going to keep reminding you. So if you watch us next year when he starts carrying it in, you're not going to see me rushing out. It's like, hold the line, boys, hold the line, hold the line. So just got to play it smart with them type of players. I think, yeah, really him. I think McGilvery was a big one when I first come over and stuff like that. I was like, a winger, and they were talking about him so much, just watch him, he's strong, he does this, he does that. I said, it's a winger, yeah? And then they're just laughing, and I said, yeah, but he's, mate, he's big. And he was like the first, like, bloke who's ever just, like, oh, I had like that, and he's just stood up, and I'm going, holy shit, yeah, he's got some power. And then, yeah, so I give him, yeah, he's one of them ones you had to watch.
So Regan Grace and Jamie McGilvery is your answer.
Yeah, I'll put them two out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's everything for me. I think that's we all good. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the end of this podcast, David. We thank you for coming on. We hope you enjoy the rest of your holiday in that lovely sunshine. Look out the window here. It's not nearly raining. So we hope you enjoy the rest of your holiday, and we thank you for coming and joining us on the podcast.
Easy, boys. Thanks for having me, lads. All the best. See you next year.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Cheers, David. Thank you, mate. Nice one. We'll be right back.